The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey folks, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. If the Twitter toddler in the White House has you completely stressed out, head on over to BubbleGenius.com and pick up their exclusive Republican voodoo doll featuring the face and body of our cartoon dictator. This item is only available for a limited time, so get yours now, only $25 at BubbleGenius.com, with a third of the proceeds going to support the campaigns of resistance candidates across the country. Plus, if you use our promo code BOBC at checkout, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
F you.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You're at Quincy's.
Any Quincy's.
You're at Quincy's. No, any Quincy's, no Starcy's.
You can't do that.
Can't do.
Cannot.
Stamped it.
Can't do. Double stamped it. No erases.
Cannot. Triple stamped it. No erases. Touch blue, make it through.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lloyd. You
guys. Enough.
Hey. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio or something?
Radio? Who needs a radio? Ready, Harry?
Bob Seska!
I don't know what we're yelling about!
The Bob Seska Show!
Strand.
Hello, Bob.
So, what the hell is Roger Stone going on about now?
I don't know. I'm just so disappointed that I didn't get to hear Jim Carrey sing that song. The Mockingbird song. That's like my favorite part of that whole movie.
That would have taken up the whole rest of the show.
I know, but it's so funny.
That wasn't from Dumb and Dumber. That was the latest chat between Scaramucci and Reince Priebus. That was in the White House, for God's sake.
I don't know.
It just seems like it. It seems like... Well, you know what? Thank God for it. I keep saying this, but thank God they're so stupid. I mean, the entire White House is just populated with a bunch of flaming idiots. It really is, because they don't know what the hell they're doing. They're trying to get away with all of these lies and corruption and treasonous behavior, and they're just idiots. Yeah. Hence stupid Watergate. Well, here Roger Stone said, "Attention Obama punk Graham." Obama punk Graham. Hell what you shall have. I don't know what that even means. He's got hell in quotes, and he said, hell what you shall have.
I think his hell is what...
Hell is what
you're gonna get.
What you will have. Yeah, something like that.
I'm gonna kill you and you're gonna go to hell. Because he loves death threats.
And then he said, blood will run in the streets if a coup is attempted against real Donald Trump.
Strength.
Right, he's talking about Lindsey Graham.
F you.
Right, yeah, I know. Let's do this. Because Lindsey Graham is kicking all kinds of ass today.
Yeah, he is.
Specifically regarding the potential of Donald Trump to fire Robert Mueller, which... I wish they would stop trying to prevent him from firing Robert Mueller. I mean, I know this is kind of counterintuitive to say this. By the way, Kimberly Johnson's here. Hi, Kimberly.
Hello.
She's here. She's right here. She's right behind me. So what was I saying? I got distracted by the fact that you're right behind me.
I know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's counterintuitive to say, I want Robert Mueller to be fired. As the special counsel.
But under this current administration, it seems it's the only thing that's going to get them to move.
That's exactly right. Well, it's not even getting them to moving out of the White House.
Right. And what I want is I want him to fire Sessions because then if he fires Sessions, the Republicans are going to freak out and maybe Mueller can stay. Maybe,
yeah.
You know, maybe in all the, you know, freaking out phase. Somehow Mueller can stay, but Sessions will go, and that would be awesome.
F you.
Well, all of this is going to lead to bad things. Obviously,
yes.
The continual...
It will be bad.
Yeah, the continual disintegration of the Trump coalition. All the people who are supporting Trump on the Republican side, at least up on the Hill, are abandoning ship because they're finding out. Thanks for being on top of things, Republicans. But they're finding out now that the Trump White House is full of incompetent boobs.
Wrong.
Just a bunch of flailing idiots. Again, I always compare this to the Three Stooges trying to fix the plumbing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is. This is, go to YouTube right now. As you're listening to the show, you can pause the show. Go to YouTube right now. But by the way, if you're in your car, don't do this unless you want to pull over to the side of the road. But go to YouTube right now. Type in Three Stooges, A Plumbing We Will Go. That is the actual name of the episode. And that is the current White House. At some point, Donald Trump is going to be trapped inside a bunch of water pipes in the bathroom, all of them leaking. He's going to make like a cage out of ductwork, get stuck in there. That's how he ends up tweeting so much from the bathroom. He's stuck in the pipes he's trying to fix. But nevertheless, so Roger Stone thinks that there's going to be a coup if they try to take out Donald Trump. And of course, he's addressing now. Lindsey Graham is evidently part of this entire coup, right?
Strength.
Yeah, he's got the strength to do it. Here's what Lindsey Graham said if Robert Mueller is fired. Any effort to go after Mueller could be the beginning of the end of the Trump presidency. That is super massive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless Mueller did something wrong. Now, there's a little bit of a caveat there. But, of course, Lindsey Graham goes on to say, right now, I have no reason to believe that Mueller is compromised. So that's all good news. Yep. Oh, whoop. That, I didn't mean to do that. That was an inadvertent fart noise.
F you.
I meant to do that. Nevertheless, so I was saying
that was Graham sitting on Stone's face.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Right there, and Lindsey Graham just sitting on Roger Stone's face and just letting fly.
And then the next thing you know, Roger Stone has pink eye.
Gross. All right. Now we know which direction the show is going to take.
Kimberly's in the gutter.
Yeah.
But I hate Roger Stone. He's a I'm not going to say it. But you know what I think.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's get back to Mueller and the firing of Mueller. Now, here's my reasoning behind the firing of Mueller. Obviously, is that if they fire Mueller, then that's a one-way ticket to impeachmentville. And then they can just hire Robert Mueller back. I'm not sure exactly how the process works in terms of doing that. This is something that they can do. So I'm thinking that if Robert Mueller is fired, we're accelerating the timeline toward impeachment. And then, and I'm only kind of half into this idea because, of course, you want justice to be served, using normal means. But this is so obvious what this is all about, whether it's Jeff Sessions or Robert Mueller, or now Donald Trump has taken to attacking Andrew McCabe, of all people. And this is so clearly Donald Trump trying to obstruct justice. The reason, and he's confessed to this, I was saying this on Tuesday, the reason he wants Sessions out is because Sessions didn't recuse himself on the Trump-Russia investigation. And he said so. He said this. He said this publicly. Everyone knows it.
Yeah, he said it in the New York Times interview, and then he said it in front of a podium.
So what this means, if you extrapolate that out, is that the sole reason Donald Trump elevated Jeff Sessions to be Attorney General is in order for Donald Trump to be able to, through Jeff Sessions, manage, if not entirely kill, the Trump-Russia investigation. So hiring Jeff Sessions was about obstructing justice, and also now, strangely, firing Jeff Sessions is also about obstruction of justice.
Yeah, it's a big tell that he said, I never would have hired him if I thought he was going to recuse himself from this. Well, this hadn't even happened yet.
Yeah.
He wanted, when he put Jeff Sessions in or when he was confirmed, but it just goes to show you that, either he understood that there was going to be some kind of, legal action in this Russia probe or a Russia probe, mm-hmm. or he's just completely stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, either one goes.
Well, yeah, he's maybe all of the above.
Yeah.
He is very, very stupid. He is extraordinarily stupid. When it comes to being stupid, he's very, very tremendous. And that's a fact.
He has the best stupid.
Yeah. And now they've got this guy, Tony the Smooch, is what we've taken to calling him. Tony Scaramucci, Anthony Scaramucci. I've got some music for Scaramucci for as long as he lasts. This will be the official Scaramucci music, right? This is the dumbest thing in the last 24 hours. I couldn't even believe that this, and I refused to accept initially that this story is real. But the thing is that Tony the Smooch has gone after Reince Priebus. So the communications director is now attacking the chief of staff inside the Trump White House. Again, the Three Stooges fix the plumbing. A plumbing we will go inside the White House. So Tony the Smooch said that Reince Priebus is the one who leaked Tony the Smooch's financial disclosure form, showing that he still has something like $50 million in assets, something along those lines, and that he's got obviously conflicts of interest because none of the Trumps or any of the people associated with the Trumps actually divest their holdings before entering the White House, which is what they should do. By the way, divesting doesn't mean you permanently walk away from it. Remember, Dick Cheney divested from Halliburton while he was vice president, but he was able to go right back in afterwards. So this is not something that, you know, if Donald Trump, for example, divests himself from the Trump Organization, it's not like Donald Trump just can't go back to the Trump Organization and pick up where he left off. You just can't do things in the White House if you have this major, major conflict of interest. So nevertheless, Tony the Smooch is attacking Reince Priebus, and this is when I saw this come down. Ryan Lizza last night was the one who confirmed that Tony the Smooch's tweet yesterday, in which he said that he's reporting the whole thing to the FBI, and he tagged the Justice Department, and he tagged Reince Priebus at Reince 45. He tagged that address. Now I was looking at that, I was going, well, maybe he's just keeping Reince in the loop. I couldn't see any direct evidence that tagging Reince Priebus in that tweet meant that he was actually attacking Reince Priebus. So, and then Ryan Lizza came back and confirmed all of this. And it's so funny to see this come down because Lizza posts this thing on Twitter confirming that Scaramucci's talking about Priebus. And then Chris Hayes was the first one to respond. Chris Hayes from MSNBC responds, "Wait, are you serious?" And I can just see the look on Chris Hayes' face where he gets just like, really? Like, he's just, oh, are you serious? What are you doing? And he's calling Ryan Lizza or something, or texting him, like, tell me. In light of the leak of my financial disclosure info, which is a felony.
No, it's not. It's not.
I will be contacting FBI. He tags the FBI. And the Justice Department. And he tags the Justice Department. Hashtag swamp. And then he tags at Reince 45, as I said. And that came after a Politico report revealed Scaramucci will still benefit from his hedge fund, Skybridge Capital, while at the White House. Along with his accusation, Scaramucci vowed to have the FBI and the DOJ investigate what he described as a felonious leak. Scaramucci tagged Reince 45 in the post, which generated ample confusion until the New Yorker's Ryan Lizza clarified that the communications director did indeed mean he wants the FBI and DOJ to investigate Priebus over the matter. Sarah Isger Flores, a DOJ spokeswoman, said, quote, "We have seen an astonishing increase in the number of leaks of classified national security information in recent months. We agree with Anthony that these staggering number of leaks are undermining the ability of our government to function and to protect this country. Like the Attorney General has said, quote, whenever a case can be made, we will seek out or we will seek to put some people in jail. And we will aggressively pursue leak cases wherever they may lead." This is so much fun because whether or not they determine that this is against the law, this is going to be just endlessly entertaining. Because if it is against the law, that means the communications director ratted out the chief of staff, and then the chief of staff gets indicted and has to step down. Of course, he's going to step down anyway. It's only just a matter of time. Probably when, you know, there's a recess or something, something's going on when we don't see a whole lot. It'll be late on a Friday or something like that, and we'll find out Reince stepped down. But then Reince could end up going to jail for leaking, again, because someone inside the White House ratted him out. Now, elsewhere, we're hearing stories that it is not a felony. So it's entirely possible that he won't go to jail. But of course, turmoil in the White House. This is the second scenario. Turmoil in the White House, where the communications director and the chief of staff are fighting with each other. And now, well, when will the chief of staff go? Will the communications director go? No one likes the communications director. No one likes Tony the Smooch inside the White House. That's why Sean Spicer quit.
Yeah,
because he didn't want to work with this guy. I wonder why. So Christina Wilkie, who is, let's see, she's an investigative reporter covering Trump for The Huffington Post and The Hill. She writes, it is not a felony, not even a crime. It is a public forum. This is Scaramucci's financial disclosure. That's why it's called a quote-unquote disclosure. Scaramucci accusing White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus on Twitter of leaking his financial disclosure form, which he claims is a felony. It's not a felony. The Paul Blumenthal also confirms that it's a public disclosure form. Someone else is saying here, only plausible interpretation is leaking his disclosure form is absolutely not a felony. Matthew Miller, who we've seen on Rachel Maddow a bunch of times, certainly on MSNBC regular shows in the primetime slots. His financial disclosure form isn't classified. He makes sure to note that. David Lauder says it's called a disclosure form after all. It's designed to be made public, so at most, it's being disclosed a bit early. Then Ron Klain. You remember Ron Klain? Kevin Spacey played Ron Klain in the Recount movie on HBO. He was on staff with Al Gore during the 2000 campaign, also on the Obama administration staff. Ron Klain says, I mean, they call it a disclosure form, not a cover-it-up form. But sure, go ahead. And I think Scaramucci, sorry, that page doesn't exist. Scaramucci deleted his tweet. Oh, good Lord.
Idiots.
That's it. It's gone. It's gone. So fantastic first week.
Lawrence O'Donnell tweeted this last night. It's official. Scaramucci is the stupidest person ever to work in the White House, in White House communications. So there you go.
Yeah, well, that should be pretty much obvious at this point. Although I do think the president may be the stupidest person ever to work inside the White House.
Well, he said White House communications.
Oh, okay. White House communications. Yeah. By the way, that's the Toby Zieg. If you're following along in the alternate universe of the West Wing, as we endure this, this dark ride of the Trump administration, Scaramucci is the equivalent of Toby Ziegler. Imagine the difference between those two characters. Scaramucci, who's dumb as a bag of rocks.
He really is.
And then
he's like a Sopranos character.
And then Toby Ziegler, who's finding typos in the original handwritten version of the Declaration of Independence. So that's the difference between the fictitious communications director, the ideal of a communications director, and what we've got right now, which once again, we've got this moron, this guy. The great news about Scaramucci today is we find out that Mario Cantone will be playing Scaramucci on tonight's episode of The President Show with Tony Attamanich.
I love Mario Cantone.
On Comedy Central. Mario Cantone is great. You remember him from Sex and the City. He played Charlotte's designer friend.
Like wedding planner.
Yeah, he basically became Charlotte's fixer.
I'm gonna mess this up, but like one of my favorite lines on Sex and the City from him was he played a gay character.
Yeah.
And he was describing a guy and he said, his butt looked like two scoops of butter pecan. I just love that line. That's always been my favorite.
Meanwhile, the Boy Scouts had to apologize for Trump's remarks. That was expected. I was expecting something to come along, and of course, here it is. Yeah, Michael Serbaugh, the chief scout executive for the Boy Scouts of America, writes, I want to extend my sincere apologies to those in our scouting family who were offended by the political rhetoric that was inserted into the jamboree. That was never our intent. The invitation for the sitting U.S. president to visit the National Jamboree is a long-standing tradition that has been extended to the leader of our nation that has had a jamboree during his term since 1937. It is in no way an endorsement of any person, party, or policies. For years, people have called upon us to take a position on political issues, and we have steadfastly remained nonpartisan and refused to comment on political matters. We sincerely regret that politics were inserted into the scouting program. Again, that is Michael Serbaugh of the Boy Scouts for America.
Big shock that Trump ruined everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, as we've all observed, this is one of those situations where a normal president, a presidential president, would go and talk about the American dream and the future of America and duty and honor and patriotism. And here's what you can do for America. You can volunteer. You can whatever it is, help old ladies across the street or whatever the thing, whatever the Boy Scouts do these days. And that's what the president should have said. But instead, he got up there and he did his whole bit with the fake news and with his thing where he says something stupid and then people cheer and he starts clapping along with the cheers for himself. And then he turns his back to the audience and claps to whoever's standing behind him like an asshole. And that's what he was doing. He just was treating the whole thing like it was one of his rallies and it was children. And then he proceeds to have several other engagements with children over the subsequent 3 or 4 days. I thought it was wrong. I mean, shouldn't we be keeping sexual predators away from groups of children?
Yes, we should. Especially, he's that whole speech was it Buzz Burbank who compared it to Hitler Youth and everything?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. And then
the fact that he was making them boo Obama.
Yeah, unbelievable.
The whole thing sickens me.
Yeah, of course it does. You know, the president was saying, though, the other day in his Ohio address that he's more presidential than any president ever to hold this office, short of the late, great Abraham Lincoln. I'm glad he threw in the late, great part before saying Abraham Lincoln. Otherwise, there would have been a whole crowd of people in Ohio going, Abraham Lincoln's still alive.
Yeah.
Why don't we make
a lot of really good things about what Abraham Lincoln is doing.
More and more people are talking about Abraham Lincoln these days, I'm told. And that was of course the case. He had to really emphasize that. Oh yeah, by the way, I was talking about this guy Abe Lincoln. Just want to let you know, Abe Lincoln's dead. And just in case you didn't know, he was shot. It was at Ford's Theater. It was in 1865, by the way. I know things. I have a very good brain. Very, very, very good brain.
Yeah, but in that same speech, he was talking about immigrants.
Yeah.
And I'm
so gross. Yeah. Like what? Like
he said, okay, I'm just going to read part of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. The predators and criminal aliens who poison our communities with drugs and prey on innocent young people. These beautiful, innocent people will find no safe haven anywhere in our country. Mm-hmm. And you've seen the stories about some of these animals. They don't want to use guns because it's too fast and not painful enough. So they'll take a young, beautiful girl, 16, 15, and others, and they slice them and dice them with a knife because they want them to go through excruciating pain before they die.
Oh my God.
This is what he says at a freaking rally in Ohio.
Holy hell. Yeah, that's something. He just had a fever dream like that the other night.
Yeah.
I'm sure. He's just describing what he's envisioning in his head.
You know, I posted this on a couple of my pages, and somebody came on and answered saying that they were, a psychologist or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, basically that this guy is so dangerous, they wouldn't even let their cat around him. I mean, I wouldn't let my cat around Trump.
Yeah, no, he's an absolute monster. He is an absolute monster. Anyone who's doubting that.
Yeah, but well, what I'm seeing, though, on Twitter is in the last few minutes, people are like urgent, urgent, urgent. Okay, first of all, they're calling the skinny repeal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Freedom bill.
Oh, God.
And people think it's going to pass. People keep like urgently tweeting that this thing is going to pass.
Yeah.
So I'm getting worried.
The last I heard that, of course, it doesn't have the support of Murkowski or Collins.
Well, actually, I think it doesn't have, it may not have the support of McCain.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. McCain was asked
whether or not he supports it.
Yeah. McCain was asked whether he was going to support the skinny bill, and he said no.
Well, if it doesn't, then that's three, and they don't. Then if they have three, it's not going to pass.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so worried.
And at some point, I love politics. I love my job. But God damn it, at some point, it is just, it is almost impossible to follow along these days because it's just, you know, just getting anything done. You know, preparing for this show, for example, is an ongoing adventure. And I don't know when to start. Should we start? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's like, if we start now, then something may happen and we're going to miss it. And
yeah, I'm going to have to throw away everything I had planned to talk about. But I wanted to talk about, we're going to get back to healthcare here in just a second after a break in a few minutes. But Trump said that he's more presidential than any president to ever hold office.
He has some good drugs.
Yeah, here's Trump at his Ohio rally.
I rode through your beautiful roads coming up from the airport, and I was looking at some of those big, once incredible job-producing factories, and my wife, Melania, said, "What happened?" I said, "Those jobs have left Ohio. They're all coming back.
Yeah, okay.
They're all coming back.
Yeah, okay.
Coming back.
They're all coming back. Wave bye-bye.
Don't move. Don't sell your house. Don't sell your house. Remember, I got a lot of credit. This is hard to believe, but the press gave me a lot of credit. Because
why is he telling people not to sell their houses?
I can't stand him.
He's telling people not to sell their houses.
Because he's so convinced that he's going to bring all the money back to them.
That's so irresponsible.
Well, he's not really convinced. He just talks out of his pie hole, and whatever he says has no meaning. He wants people to cheer because that's what gives him his energy and his motivation.
Your house is completely underwater, but don't sell it. Don't sell your house. I'm telling you, do not sell. Do not sell your house.
What? It's completely underwater. It's got three mortgages.
Don't sell it.
Just so irresponsible. Because he's the president. And what the president says, people tend to do those things.
Yeah.
People tend to follow orders from the president.
So that Americans can once again speak the magnificent words of Alexander Hamilton. Here, the people govern.
Why everyone's going, well, what did he say? What is that? Are we supposed to clap now? What is that? That's history. That's not one of your greatest hits. Well, go say fake media. Say that. And then we'll clap.
Right.
They just weren't sure. It was like, Alexander Hamilton said, here's where the people govern.
Yeah.
Now?
Right.
Oh, now. Yay!
Political correctness for me is easy. Sometimes they say he doesn't act presidential. And I say, hey, look, great schools, smart guy.
Oh, God.
It's so easy to act presidential, but that's not going to get it done. In fact, I said, it's much easier, by the way, to act presidential than what we're doing here tonight, believe me. And I said...
So he's basically saying that acting like a crazy maniac, it's harder to act like a maniac than to be presidential. That's his excuse. Yeah. That's his excuse. I'm doing the hard thing. I'm acting like a screwball in the Oval Office. And because it's so hard to tweet on the shitter every morning while I'm watching Fox.
I just don't ever want to hear him again. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some great steaks. And I'm not talking about Trump steaks. Those are terrible. I still can't figure out how the hell he came up with the idea of selling steaks at the Sharper Image. I mean, does anyone go to the Sharper Image to buy their meat?
Yeah, I know, really.
The Sharper Image doesn't scream out to me, hey, this is a place that's equipped to sell food.
I'm going to go get some food for dinner. Let's go to the Sharper Image.
And he says this is one of his favorite stores.
Yeah, right.
One of my favorite stores, the Sharper Image. All right, but here's where you got to get your steaks. These are the best steaks in the world. In fact, you know, I was just talking to the guy I sent steaks to, and they ended up sitting in his lobby for, I don't know, a couple of weeks because he had already left on vacation. And then I ended up calling Sharper... I almost said Sharper Image. I ended up calling Omaha Steaks and saying, hey, listen, I had this this foul up in terms of the timing of sending this delivery of Omaha Steaks to this friend of mine. What can we do? And Omaha Steaks said, well, we're just going to send him a replacement batch of steaks for free.
That's so cool.
Including shipping.
Wow.
So they sent both. It's amazing. What an amazing example of great customer service. Holy hell. But then, then there are the steaks themselves. Then there's the meat themselves. See, there are backyard barbecues. Summertime, so it's time for backyard barbecues. And then there are barbecues that people talk about for weeks because the burgers and dogs and chops come from Omaha Steaks. You should have that kind of barbecue. But summer will be over before you know it, so this is the time to stock up. And right now, because you listen to this show, you can get the Giants of Grilling Combo for an impressive low price. The combo is really something special. It's just plain big, with 50 items for just $50. You get 8 4-ounce boneless pork chops, 8 boneless chicken breasts totaling 2 pounds, 6 4-ounce Omaha Steak burgers, 8 2-ounce Omaha Steak sliders, a dozen 3-ounce gourmet jumbo franks, 8 3-ounce kielbasas, and at no extra charge, Omaha Steak's brand new Delmonico burgers, 4 of them at 5.5 ounces each. I don't know how you're going to eat all of that steak, but this is what you get. 50 items for just $50. But to get those 50 delicious things for just $50, you have to use my code. Just type BOBC in the search bar at omahasteaks.com. I've had a lot of Omaha Steak meals. I've loved every bite and got lots of compliments on my grill skills. But the real credit goes to Omaha Steaks, of course. They have huge, beautiful, stupendous menu, including premium aged beef, bison, pork, lamb, poultry, and seafood. Omaha Steaks also has sauces and seasonings, appetizers, soups, veggies, pasta, and desserts, all made with the highest quality ingredients and 100% guaranteed. And right now, the Giants of Grilling combo is just $50 for 50 great items. If you enter the code BOBC at the search bar at omahasteaks.com, again, the promo code is BOBC at omahasteaks.com. Have the best summer ever with steaks and more from Omaha Steaks.
The Bob Seska Show. Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to today's show. Thank you for joining us today at Patreon.com/Bob Ches. Also at BobSeska.com and at iTunes and at the Huffington Post and at LittleGreenFootballs.com and SoundCloud.
And also your grill skills.
What am I missing? My grill skills.
You have such fabulous grill skills. You really do, though.
I've got excellent grill skills. Do those chickens have large talons?
I just want to sing along to the song, but I'll spare all of your listeners.
But Pedro, I don't have any good skills.
You know, like nunchuck skills, bow hunting skills, computer hacking skills.
But you do have good grill skills.
I'm a very, very tremendous griller. I'm the most tremendous griller in the history of the world.
There's going to be so much grilling, you'll be sick of grilling.
That's right. Other than the late, great Abraham Lincoln, I have the best grill skills. Okay, so moving along here. Breaking news. Porn star Lena Paul is offering free porn if you call your senator right now at 202-224-3121. She writes here on Twitter. This was being circulated all over Twitter yesterday. Lena Paul is at Lena is a peach on Twitter. And she says here, 202-224-3121, send me a clip of you calling your senator about the health care bill, and I will send you a shit ton of free porn. Seriously. Seriously.
Wow.
Fantastic. Suddenly, everyone's calling their senator. That's a
no
shit,
kidding.
Shit ton of free porn from porn star Lena Paul.
Wow.
So the BCRA, the Better Care Reconciliation Act, that is dead. That fell 43-57 yesterday. Oh, no, that wasn't yesterday. That was Tuesday, late Tuesday night. Then yesterday, Rand Paul's full repeal thing failed in the Senate. That vote went down 45-55. And I was kind of expecting that to fail. It's just a disaster. Just a disaster. Piece of legislation from 2015 that Rand Paul initially introduced, and which I believe it passed at the time, and Obama vetoed it, of course. But then they reintroduced it like zombie legislation happening in the Senate right now, thanks to Mitch McConnell. Meanwhile, Mitch McConnell is pushing the skinny repeal, as we were saying.
The freedom.
Yeah.
They're calling it the freedom bill or the freedom repeal bill. Or whatever the hell. This is worrying me. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, he's applying senators with favorable amendments, trying to get everyone to right. sign on. But I mean, suffice to say, I mean, it's so funny. A listener, Amy Taylor, mentioned to me that Mitch McConnell keeps fucking that chicken. That's the, remember that there was a news clip where a guy said effing that chicken, comparing
yes,
something,
yes.
doing something repeatedly as effing that chicken. That's weird.
Yes.
But here's some good news. Reuters said the source has told colleague, that the R's will write the skinny bill at today's policy lunch,
yes.
which I think has already happened.
At lunch.
Yeah. They wrote it at lunch. That's fantastic news. That they're reforming healthcare over chicken salad sandwiches. That is the dumbest thing. Everyone is so dumb. Why is everyone so dumb, Kimberly? In Washington, D.C. Everyone is just acting dumb.
I mean, they're acting dumb. They're not dumb. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. But they're still unclear as to whether or not this wish list of things in their freedom bill or whatever it is meets the reconciliation bird rule guidelines, which means that if there's anything in there that doesn't meet the parameters for reconciliation, then the bill requires 60 votes instead of just 50 plus one. So,
well, Chris Murphy is saying, assume this new Senate bill becomes law. He says, here's why. Conference negotiations will fail because all the intra-GOP caucus problems remain. House Freedom Caucus will warn to Senate. Well, it's hard for me to read his tweet, but basically.
It's hard to read anyone's tweet,
I know,
I think.
But it's got all those, you know, abbreviations.
It's like reading a Chuck Grassley tweet.
Yeah, it includes the end of funding for Planned Parenthood, top priority for House conservatives, blah, blah, blah. But he goes on Twitter to make the case that they're going to pass this bill. So he says a few are Republican senators will cry crocodile tears as individual markets melt down, blah, blah, and millions lose their job. But he's basically warning that this is going to pass. So, I mean, obviously we need people to call, but I'm worried.
Yeah.
Hate this. You know, I get so excited when I hear horrible things about Trump, but then, you know, these other things like the healthcare freaks me out, and I'm just...
I mean, I kind of predicted what was going to happen yesterday while we were on Tuesday. I'm not even going to dare. I have no idea what's going to happen now. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Ted Lieu calls skinny repeal a stupid repeal.
It's so screwed up that we're sitting here talking about something called the skinny repeal. I mean, there's nothing skinny about it. 16 million people are going to lose their health care if this thing passes.
Why are Republicans so horrible? They're just so horrible.
Well, I mean, again, the upside to all of this is, and this is another reason to not be so scared.
Okay.
Not to be so scared.
I'm scared.
Yeah. Here's the thing, that even if it passes, even if the skinny repeal or whatever the freedom bill passes in the Senate, it then has to go to a conference committee where the House GOP members are saying the skinny bill as it stands is untenable.
Yeah.
So then they're going to have to work out some sort of evil brundle fly between the Senate bill and whatever they come up with in the House now. Maybe it'll continue to be that original House bill where they had the beer party and the, what do they have?
Right.
They had some crazy party in the Rose Garden after they passed
they all
that
drank
one.
Beer.
Yeah. And so,
celebrating potential death of Americans.
Right. So
those pro-lifers.
Yeah, I know. So this goes all to a conference committee. And then it gets hashed out, where it could end up completely dying in conference. But even then, if they say that, for example, they come up with a conference report that's the brundlefly of the Senate version and the House version, with the Senate version being the skinny repeal if it passes, then that has to go to the House. The House has to vote on that, and then the Senate has to vote on it again. So there are at least three more steps. Maybe even more in the process. And at any point, the whole thing could fall apart.
And again, supposedly McCain is a no on this. So
yeah, he's still a no on the skinny
repeal?
I don't
know about that. I just saw a tweet going down a few minutes ago, so we'll see.
Yeah, so the House Republicans are saying, this is according to the Washington Post, the House Republicans are saying that the skinny legislation is not going to not going to work for them. And that's,
I just want this whole thing to go away. I mean, I know I'm not putting it past them to bring this up again if this one fails and then they're done on this. And but still, it's just like every day is so nerve-wracking. We've got enough nerve-wracking things to deal with Trump, but this healthcare thing is just frightening.
Yeah. In an email to Republican senators, McConnell said the proposal, the skinny repeal, would eliminate the law's requirement that Americans obtain coverage or pay a tax penalty, that's the mandate, and suspend the mandate that firms employing 50 or more workers provide insurance for at least 5 years. Now, if you think you've got employer-based coverage and that you're therefore immune from whatever happens with Obamacare, here's the problem right there. It's this employer mandate. Now your employer doesn't have to give you health coverage. In fact, your employer, if this legislation ends up passing and becoming a law, your employer, if there are 50 or more workers in that company, can take away your health care and legally do it. That can happen now. And then you're going to be one of the millions of people who have lost healthcare. Yeah. And then if you have a pre-existing condition, you could end up getting screwed because, of course, the House Republicans want to strike down the pre-existing condition language. If you remember, the House version of the legislation made it possible for states to opt out of covering pre-existing conditions. So therefore, if you work for a company that's got 100 employees, you're one of the 100 employees, and the skinny legislation says, well, we're going to take away the employee mandate, which means your boss can say, hey, you know what? We need to cut costs, and I'm paying for my kid in college. So, yeah, you don't need, you people don't need health care, do you? Nah, forget it. We're going to eliminate the health care for all you workers. And then you've got a pre-existing condition. You can't buy any more health insurance because, yeah, sorry, you live in a Donald Trump state. You live in a red state, let's say Texas, or let's say Wisconsin or Pennsylvania or Michigan. You could end up losing any ability to get insurance because that state will, of course, wherever there's a Republican governor and a Republican legislature, you better believe that they're going to opt out of anything that has to do with Obamacare. The states like Ohio, notwithstanding, obviously John Kasich is not a big fan, but John Kasich isn't going to be governor of Ohio forever. Yeah. So, I mean, watch out. Because this is going to affect far more people than you could possibly ever imagine. This is not about poor people with Medicaid or disabled people with Medicaid or anything like that. We're talking about workers who had, up to this point, nothing to do with Obamacare other than reaping the benefits of, for example, the consumer protections and the essential health benefits that actually make your health insurance much better. In fact, there was a thing I was going to talk about on Tuesday's show with Buzz Burbank. And it was that one thing I've been observing, I don't know if you've observed this too, Kimberly, but the fact of the matter is that so many people who are bitching about Obamacare describe scenarios in which it is clear to me, especially when I hear from them on Facebook or Twitter, that they don't know how to use the marketplaces, that they don't understand the basics of insurance. Like, well, it was cheaper. I mean, now I'm paying $1,000 for my premiums when before I was only paying $100. What's going on? It was so much cheaper before Obamacare. Well, you know, there are a lot of extenuating circumstances that contribute to that. I mean, who knows? Because they never say. They never say where they live or what their family situation is. Maybe they had two kids in the last 8 years since Obamacare passed. And so now they've got a family of four instead of being two people, you know, husband and wife or whatever permutation of that. Or maybe they were single before Obamacare and they were only paying on the individual marketplace for just one person. Maybe that was the case. Maybe they just don't understand how the marketplaces work. Maybe they don't understand which policy to buy. They certainly don't understand that whatever it was, that policy that they had before Obamacare that they claim was cheaper, really didn't give them anything.
Well, and I think there's also the idea that let's just go on the fact that there were people who experienced higher premiums legitimately.
Yeah.
They followed all the rules, they did everything, and then they got higher premiums. Well, that was something that needs to be, that's something that, okay, in the next phase of the Affordable Care Act. That's where we, you know, smooth things over and fix that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because it was just the initial rollout. We got everybody, we got all these people insured. And yes, there mm-hmm. were people who had to pay more premiums. But then, you know, the next step is to, I think ultimately the goal is to get us to single payer. But, you know, we go through steps.
Yeah.
And it takes a while. It took a while to get everybody on, you know, all these people insured. Now the next step is to improve the system.
Are you seeing a drive to alter the branding of single payer? Instead of saying single payer, which in and of itself, it's not self-explanatory.
Right.
It's not something that if you say to someone single payer, they immediately know what it is. Is there a drive to go to what Bernie was saying, Medicare for all?
Maybe
that you know, term maybe, to use
I haven't,
instead.
I haven't necessarily seen that. I have been seeing a lot of single payer, talking about single payer and why we need it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I mean, that was one of the things that I wished instead of taking the pie in the sky, the unicorn, you know, rainbow farts, whatever that Hillary was saying in the election, especially in the primaries, mm-hmm. basically poo-pooing the idea that single payer could ever pass. I would have preferred if she would have taken on that. Yeah, we can do it, but we need to take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
You know, because Bernie wasn't offering a satisfactory answer as how we were going to pay for all this. People were like, wait a minute, how is this going to get done? So going just from a quick jump from what we have now to single payer, that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, in the end, it doesn't really matter though, because the idea that, you know, that she threw out there that it was just never going to happen and it was a ridiculous thought is pretty much gone now. Democrats are kind of behind this. I mean, they're not behind it in that they're drafting up legislation right now, but the idea is like Democratic voters, especially voters who are on that bus with her saying, no, it's never going to happen, are all of a sudden now going, yeah, single payer can happen.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter, I think, of time before the party itself starts to hear that mm-hmm. and then take it on. I mean, I know, what's his name? The guy, Lockbox. What's his name? Al Gore.
that guy.
Al Gore has come out and said, you know, they say he broke with party. And you know, but I don't think the whole party is against single payer.
What a sad statement about Al Gore's career. That the only
No,
thing
it's just how I do Lockbox. Things. That's just me. It's not his career. Obviously, he's done so much for the environment.
He's that guy, you know, the guy
no,
who said
you know,
Lockbox.
Wait. Let me just defend this by saying when I could not, this is me and my Kimberly-isms, because when I could not remember the term for village idiot, I said town stupid person. So
well, close,
to my mom,
close
that
enough,
she laughed
I
at
guess.
Me. She's like, oh my God, Kimberly. So, but that, you know, okay, well, Lockbox was the first thing that came to mind.
I want to say this because I know a lot of people, especially the Bernie bros, are running around saying that, oh, look, suddenly the Democrats are interested in single payer. Interesting. Funny how that happens. But you know what?
It's not really sudden.
Well, but I mean, look, there is a change over.
Yeah, there is a change. Absolutely.
Since Trump Care has been on the table, there has been a change over in the Democratic Party. Like Elizabeth Warren, for example, is pushing for Medicare for all, et cetera.
But I thought
and
she
I think a lot of mainstream, some mainstream Democrats are
well,
looking at it as,
board,
as a serious possibility. Now, but look at what had to happen in order to get there. We are now on the verge of the Republicans completely bleeding the Affordable Care Act to death.
Yeah.
Do we really want to, is this how we want to get to Medicare for all? Well, certainly we can use that as a springboard for getting Medicare for all at some point in the not too distant future, I think. But I mean, it's not something that is the best case where we have to risk losing it all in order to get this. The better scenario, if you rewind to the campaigns of 2015, 2016, and the discussions of single payer in that context, well, can we do it absent of a major crisis like Trump Care? And at the time, it was completely reasonable to say, well, no, you can't really go from where we are and suddenly flip a switch and change that drastically 1/6 of the American economy. It just doesn't. Washington
the point
doesn't
is
work
you can't
that way.
But flip a switch. It's a slower process.
It is a slower process.
It's continually evolving the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
And getting it to eventual Medicare for All.
Right. Just basically rolling back the beginning, or actually spreading out the point at which you can actually get Medicare, moving that age, you know, closer and closer and closer to something.
And it goes back to Obama's message. Yes, we can. It's the idea of don't take it off the table and say we can't. Just say we can. And then we figure out the way to get there over time.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, at the time, it was politically impossible to do it. In absence of the existence of Trump Care and a repeal of Obamacare, mm-hmm. it was an untenable pursuit Medicare for All.
That irritates me.
Well, I mean, that was the case. And in order to get us to a point where we are today, we've had to endure, and it's we're still extreme. Enduring the possibility of losing health care entirely.
Yeah.
So do we really want to be in a place where upwards of 32 million people lose their health care, and that's what gets us to Medicare for All?
Well,
I mean, I don't know if that's the kind of pain that has to be endured in order to get there.
No, but I think there's a happy medium in the idea that we're every day, you know, Americans are freaking out that they're going to lose their health care, and that this is a good warning and caution, and that, okay, this is what, you know, I mean, instead of losing it taking us there, the threat of losing it takes us there, I would hope.
All right. Well, a couple more words about health care, and then we're going to get into...
And I want to add my own couple more words.
Okay. We're going to get into Trump-Russia right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okay, welcome back to our Thursday show. Kimberly A. Johnson is here.
F you.
Right.
So I'm going to throw in mine real quick. And there's watch on BBC. Anthony Scaramucci compares Trump's bid to repeal Obamacare to Lincoln abolishing slavery.
Jesus God, these... Oh, my God. Yeah, he said this yesterday, and he said it on television, for God's sake.
What a doof.
It's not. This is the worst thing he could possibly say. This is the worst comparison he could possibly make.
That guy is so stupid.
What we want to do is say that repealing Obamacare, passed by the first black president, is like repealing slavery.
Yeah.
This is no universe do those things match in any way, shape, or form, metaphorically or otherwise. That is just dumb, dumb, dumb. Meanwhile, speaking of dumb, Trump is attacking Lisa Murkowski. I mean, you would talk about, I mean, again, this is one of those things where I just rip my hair out and go, doesn't anyone see this? Can anyone tell what is going on here? This is absolutely an abuse of power. This is, again, this is the president using his office to threaten sitting United States senators. That is just staggering. It is absolutely unbelievable. And I go, why is anyone taking note of this in terms of investigations or indictments? Does anyone pay attention to what the president is doing illegally?
Have you all got amnesia?
Yes, right.
They just cheated us. This isn't fair.
there.
I know. I so feel like that. But anyway, so...
And you know what? I just wish they would leave Trump alone and go after Hillary Clinton.
I wonder if Sarah Palin is going to continue to...
I was just kidding.
Oh, yeah, I know. I God. Yeah, and that's the latest thing. The House might end up starting to investigate...
Unbelievable.
...Hillary Clinton again. Sad. Just, it's also sad.
Sad.
Yeah. Okay, what was I going to talk about here? Oh, yeah, I wonder if Sarah Palin's going to waver on her support for Trump now that she knows.
I can't imagine. She's so stupid.
Yeah, now that, that Trump is going to actually try to punish Alaskans.
I don't think she will. I mean, staggering. I could be wrong, but I don't think anyone is more stupid than her.
Yeah.
Somebody asked on Facebook the other day, like, who's more stupid, Palin or Conway? And it's like, I don't think Conway's stupid. she's just a liar.
Yeah.
Palin is stupid.
Palin is phenomenally dumb. But you know what? Donald Trump is right there.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is, I think, on equal footing with Sarah Palin. I think they're both
I think she's slightly, she's just a little bit more stupid than he is.
I don't know. I think they're about equal. If you listen to Sarah Palin's
words, you guys have to weigh in and tweet to us. Who's more stupid, Sarah Palin or Donald Trump?
Yeah. Well, there's Sarah Palin.
Right wing and bitter, clinging, proud clinger.
I'm voting for Palin, although I he's right there behind her.
And then there's Donald Trump's word salads, which are, I think, just about...
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they are pretty...
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
Pretty unbelievable.
And
they're
pretty
tremendously, bigly unbelievable.
Yeah, so on one hand, you have...
Right-wing and bitter, clinging, proud clingers.
Yeah, and then we also... Then we have to talk about our current president.
I can be more presidential than any president that's ever held this office. That I can tell you.
Believe me. It's real easy. Believe.
I just want to watch
but
the president
sadly,
show.
We have to move a little faster.
I know. I can't wait till 11.
We will never be beholden.
11:30 tonight.
To the lobbyists or the special interests. We will never
special
be
interest.
Silenced by the media. I want to protect America, and I want to protect the citizens of America. Your hopes are my hopes. Your dreams are my dreams.
Oh, whatever.
I've had a great, successful career.
Your chocolate cake is my chocolate cake.
I've built a great business. This is the only thing that matters. This is the only thing that matters.
I built a great, great business. This is the only thing that matters. This is the only thing that matters. It's like he runs out of breath at the end of a sentence.
Yeah.
This is the only thing that matters.
That's why I want to watch the president show.
I know.
Because I love the way he sat, like the way he uses his voice when he's Trump. It's so great.
Yeah, it is. It's so goddamn entertaining. And it's that thing. He's so good at doing.
He gets those crazy eyes.
He's doing the breathy and morose Trump these days a whole
lot. Excited morose.
Yeah, he's like, maybe he's a macho guy. And then I drive the plane.
And then he
I drive the truck into the river. And I, in the river. And I let the
but
water
But then he does
that
thing with
over.
His jaw. Yeah. He sticks his jaw out.
Right. Okay, so senators are preparing legislation to block the firing of Robert Mueller. Now, again, this is something that I'm ambivalent about. And I'm not complete. I would say it's more like 60-40. 60, you know, against firing Robert Mueller. 40 for firing Robert Mueller. And it's not, again, it has everything to do with firing Robert Mueller means an advancement toward impeachment. And my whole goal, I mean, at least... from where I'm sitting, and I'm not setting the agenda for the Democratic Party. I'm not part of the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is its own thing. But if I were setting the agenda for the Democratic Party, I would say the number one thing is to get this guy as far away from the White House as possible. So, and firing Robert Mueller might get us there.
Yeah, but again, Sessions could get us there too. And I'm all for that scenario where he fires Sessions and, The Democrats are, I guess they're keeping the Senate open.
Yeah, they're going to do that thing. The Republicans used to do this when Obama was looking at a recess appointment or two. And they decided to do this thing where they keep the Senate open by allowing some senators to intermittently go to the Senate floor and, you know, do some sort of idle bit of business that maintains the integrity of the Senate being open.
So
and therefore the recess never
can't get somebody else in there.
Yeah.
And then he could fire Sessions.
Right.
And I don't know why he's, you know, I have a theory why it's not Rosenstein or Stein.
Yeah.
And it's because he feels Sessions, you know, turned against him. And we all know how he, you know, even Melania said, like, if you hit him, he'll hit you back 10 times harder.
Yep.
So he's got this whole, you know, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to get you back, Sessions, for not staying loyal to me, where mm-hmm. he doesn't have that for Rosenstein. And, or at least not at this point. And so if he could just fire Sessions and piss off the Republicans, and then they can go after him for impeachment there, that would be great. That's my vote.
Well, meanwhile, yeah, as you said, I mean, this is a plan by the Democrats to make sure that they block the firing of Jeff Sessions.
Well, both would be obstructions of justice.
Yeah. Well, they can't block the firing of Jeff Sessions. What they can do is block the appointment of a new attorney general.
Right.
Who could be some wackaloon like Jeanine Pirro. Someone that Donald Trump is going to bring in who will exclusively vow to stop the Trump-Russia investigation. That is the point to all of this. Now, Chuck Grassley is also taking a stand on this, even though Chuck Grassley, he's all over the map when it comes to Trump. On one hand, it seems like he's backstopping for Trump because he's trying to skew the Trump-Russia investigation into an investigation of the Democrats and the Christopher Steele memo. That's what one of the things that Chuck Grassley is doing. Meanwhile, he sent this tweet out yesterday. Everybody in D.C. should be warned, and he does it in his abbreviated Twitter speak. Everybody in D.C. should be warned that the agenda for the Judiciary Committee is set for the rest of 2017. Judges first, sub-cabinet second, AG, no way! It's so funny when Rachel was talking about that last night. AG, no way. So even if Donald Trump fires Jeff Sessions, there will be no attorney general for the rest of the year, even taken up in hearings.
So then he could fire Rosenstein then, but we'll see what he does.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's my question. I mean, why isn't he just going for Rosenstein? I'm really curious about,
well, see, that's the thing. It's like, I think at this point in the game, he's just so filled with anger over, you know, what he perceives as a betrayal from Sessions.
So the other day I took a vote on the show. And it was whether or not Trump will sign this sanctions legislation for the Russia sanctions, which just passed the House 419-3, I think it was.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And Buzz seemed to think that Trump will sign the sanctions bill. I don't think he's going to sign it. I think it's quite obvious that he's not going to sign this legislation. He will either veto it or he will pocket veto it. And then the Senate, of course, will override the veto and then it'll become law anyway. But at least Trump's name isn't on the goddamn thing. What do you think? What is your vote in that debate?
Well, I actually just, I saw a tweet earlier that said, I think it was Sanders. Did Sanders say this? Huckabee Sanders, that he was going to, that Trump wanted that he would veto it, but that because he wanted a stronger sanctions bill that would be harder on Russia.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right. No way. No way in hell.
I honestly don't know. I don't know.
Well, his buddies, Trump's buddies in the Kremlin, are giving him a good excuse. Yes. To not sign it.
To
not sign it because Russia has threatened to retaliate. This is according to Bloomberg. Russia has threatened to retaliate against new sanctions passed by the U.S. House of Representatives, saying they made it all but impossible to achieve the Trump administration's goal of improved relations. Mm-hmm. The measures put U.S.-Russia ties into uncharted territory and, quote, don't leave room for the normalization of relations in the foreseeable future. Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov said Wednesday, God damn it. You know what that means? That means 20 other Russian names will immediately leave my brain.
God damn it.
I know. Because now to make room for Sergei Ryabkov on Wednesday, according to the Interfax News Service, hope is dying for improved relations because of the scale of the anti-Russian consensus in Congress, making dialogue impossible for a long time. Said the chairman of the International Affairs Committee in Russia's upper house of parliament via Facebook, by the way. Jesus Christ. Russia should prepare a response to the sanctions that's painful for the Americans, he said. Oh, isn't that, boy, I can't wait for that.
I know.
Good Lord. That, I swear to God, the midterms are going to be a bloodbath. Just in terms, I mean, I don't even know if that means the outcome, but I do know that the actual process of yes. dealing with the midterms next year is going to be a mess.
Yeah.
A mess. And you know how you'll see it? You know how you'll witness it happening? It'll be all happening on social media. Because everything you post about your Democratic candidate or this district or that district or this state or that state, whether it's a gubernatorial race or a Senate race or a House race or anywhere in between, you're going to be accosted mm-hmm. by so many trolls. You noticed there was a pattern for troll handles on Twitter. What was that pattern?
Yeah, actually, yesterday I posted a Twitter thread, and it was about Trump and Russia and Putin.
Yeah.
And I started getting spammed with trolls hitting my post. And they're usually, it's a woman's name. It's a picture of a woman and a woman's name followed by numbers. And if you look at their accounts, it's all just like tiny URLs or small URLs
yeah.
With absolutely no description. So warning out there to everyone, do not click on URLs that you cannot identify.
Right.
It's better to, like, for instance, let's say somebody tweets to you a URL that, even if you know this person, if you can get an idea of what that URL is, because usually you can read the URL. Sometimes it's tiny and you can't, but
yeah.
It'll be legitimate. But oftentimes the longer URLs will spell out what the headline is. I would say type out the headline in your search mm-hmm. engine and look for it that way, because there's going to be all kinds of shenanigans by these bots, whether they're Russian bots or Republican dirty tricks bots. These bots are coming so you'll click on these links and then you'll either get hacked. In yeah. fact, people are complaining that I just changed my password to my PayPal account and my bank account. And I made very difficult passwords
mm-hmm.
because you have to be very careful these days. I say that now. If you're unsure of an article that you're reading on Facebook or on Twitter, just Google it yourself, please. Don't,
yes.
Because, you know, as a blogger, oftentimes I'm getting, you know, private messages, or I'm getting people complaining, hitting, like I posted something in a group the other day and it was a legitimate article about mm-hmm. a legitimate thing that so many other had. It was about that Fahrenthold calling women repugnant for yeah. not voting. Anyway, so this woman wasn't sure of the, it was Liberals Unite, you know, the blog I write for, but she's like, I don't trust the site. I don't know it. And it's like, mm-hmm. fine. You don't know it. You don't have to trust it, but Google it first.
Yeah.
Instead of reporting the goddamn thing, because, you know, sometimes it is legitimate news.
Yeah.
Just because it's coming from a blog name that you don't recognize doesn't mean it's not legitimate.
Yeah.
So, you know, just be responsible and Google it yourself to make sure. You don't have to necessarily post an article that you don't trust the website, but make sure yourself before you go complain and, you know, you're not getting it.
Yeah. I mean,
look, there's
an old adage with buying illegal drugs. Always know your dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Always know your source that you're sharing on Facebook
and social media.
Maybe
someone's never heard of the Daily Banter, but that doesn't mean it's not a legitimate source.
Well, that is true, but don't go, if you've never heard of the site, I don't care if it's the Daily Banter or whatever, don't share it if you're unfamiliar with what the publication is. You know, we all recognize what the legitimate publications are and which ones aren't. And if you're sharing something that doesn't have a byline, that doesn't have even a date associated with it, if it's a site that looks like it's just a random WordPress blog, don't share
Google it. Just go to your search engine and basically search for that particular, not the exact headline, because yeah. then you'll get the same thing. But, you know, if it's Scaramucci says something or other, just type in Scaramucci healthcare.
Yeah.
See what comes up. And that way you can find out whether or not this story is true.
Right.
It's very easy, because there's actually a lot of legitimate blogs out there that you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't necessarily have to boycott those blogs. Just don't complain about them before you know what the deal is. That's what really irritates me.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't have to necessarily share, you know, from Liberals Unite or from the Daily Banter, but don't complain about it. Make sure you understand what's happening first, because not everything is fake news. The problem is that we're hearing now, especially toward the as we move to the 2018 election, we're going to hear more and more about legitimate fake news. And what that's going to do is it's going to cause confusion mm-hmm. for people online, and they're not going to know what to check. There's a very easy way.
There's an
easy way. Search engine.
Search engines. That's right. The other thing is, I maybe if the drugs metaphor didn't work, how about this? You treat sharing, retweeting, and so on like you would sex. Don't retweet something if you feel like something bad is going to come out of that. Treat that process with the same care that you would treat, you know, having sex, you know, on a one night stand or after a date or something. Make sure you know that person. Make sure that you use protection.
Yeah, and it's like there's a lot of headlines
yeah.
that play on your emotions.
Right.
You know, and we all look, one of my biggest pet peeves, especially in this past presidential election, or at least I should say primary, where people had an emotional attachment to either Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. I have the emotional attachment to what happens in this country. I don't care. It's like, you can like Hillary Clinton, you can mm-hmm. like Bernie Sanders, that's fine. But don't just base your vote on your emotional attachment to a candidate.
Yeah.
It's never about the candidate. It's about what the candidate will do for the, or not do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like there's going to be so many headlines out there that are going to play on your emotions, and they're going to be incendiary. And so recognize it.
Yeah.
Just recognize it. Don't allow the blogs out there or whatever to, you know, I mean, you're going to see, you're definitely going to see headlines that are going to piss you off. And it's going to be because, let's say, Republican A says some horrible thing about women or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. Democrats have said horrible thing about women. Those kinds of things are going to piss you off. But recognize that, you know, a lot of times, especially with the fake news, those are the types of headlines. They're trying to make you upset. They're trying to make you angry or fearful.
Yeah.
And so recognize that before you start freaking out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And one last thing. Stop sharing Palmer Report.
Oh, please stop.
Jesus God. He's been getting so much press. Bill Palmer.
I know. And, you know, I see like verified accounts on Twitter sharing him, and it's like, please, no. That guy threatened to sue me over a face. I mean, he didn't threaten me with a lawsuit, but I guess behind the scenes, he told someone else that he was considering suing me because yeah. I disagreed with him on a Facebook post.
Oh, God. Yeah, he directly threatened to sue me yeah. and the Daily Banter for writing an article in which I accused him of not including any original sources or links to those sources because yeah. he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't.
And then after you did that, he started.
Yeah, yeah, he started. He used to run a site called Daily News Bin, which was certainly a pro-Hillary site, but it was a lot of fake news.
Yeah.
A lot of unsourced conjecture and speculation and things that he was passing off as legitimately hard news, but which he included. Included zero sources. I mean, we used to go through the articles one by one. There's no links here. What the hell is he talking about with this?
And well, now what he's doing, and there's another one called IR.net.
Yeah. Oh, I've
seen
that. And
what they're
too.
Doing is now everyone knows who listens to the After the Party, and I guess I've talked about it on here. I love the
After the Party.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I know. I'm just busting.
I like to follow, and I know not everybody does, so just don't give me lectures. But I like to follow. like Claude Taylor on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I've explained before that to me, it's like being friends or knowing somebody who is friends with a meteorologist and mm-hmm. says, it's going to rain next Thursday.
Yeah.
So we go, okay, well, let's go. Maybe it's going to rain next Thursday and maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. I like that. I don't take anything these people say as absolute until it actually happens, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they have been correct in many instances. So, but what I will not do is if I'm going to write an article, I'm not going to source that and say, this is going to happen, and here's the source. That's what Bill Palmer does. He'll take like the Claude Taylor tweets or the Louise Mensch tweets or whatever and use that as a source and then sell the article as if it's like real.
Yeah.
You can't do that. I like to look at these, you know, the people who are on, they're called Team Patriot. And I know like Malcolm Nance and Joy Reid, they don't like Team Patriot. They don't they don't believe in
And I'm highly skeptical
yeah,
of
Yeah, well, I wouldn't
Patriot.
Even say, I'm not going to go so far as to say skeptical. I'm just going to say it may or may not happen. It's just, again, it's like the weather. If you're going to tell me it's going to rain on Thursday, we have to wait until Thursday to find out if it rains. It's not an absolute. So you cannot use those. So IR.net is one of those sites that basically takes those Team Patriot tweets, and those are the sources for their stories, as well as Palmer Report.
Yeah, there you go. And it's easier than you think to spot these things as long as you take the time. And again, I want to make sure that I'm emphasizing that it's not you listening to the show. It is people we've all known. And when I say you, I mean the royal you, meaning that there are people we know who share this awful, awful crap and end up being suckered by Russian bots and Russian trolls. And this is what we need to keep a close eye on. And we need to spread the word.
Look, I was fooled by certain stories, especially in the primaries last year when I didn't understand what was going on. And I could see that there was a difference. And like I said, you know, I was a Bernie supporter. I was in Bernie groups. And at first they started off with just pro-Bernie. And then all of a sudden, when the Russian disinformation campaign started, it was all this anti-Hillary stuff.
Yep.
And so, you know, I mean, you see this stuff. And again, it's playing on your emotional state.
That's right.
You're for this candidate and you're fully invested in them. And then you see this emotional headline on the competitor and you want to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do.
And I did not believe it. So I just don't want any lectures on this. And I'm, you know, I am certainly not pro Bernie Sanders right now. He is really upsetting me.
Yeah, so, we can say that.
I have a feeling there's going to be a comment screaming at me about, why are we bragging about Bernie? Because Bernie's still in the news, period. He's still out there. And, you know, I mean, I'm not happy with anything he's doing right now.
Well, your turnaround between last year and this year is remarkable as far as
I'm all for everything he wanted.
Yeah.
I'm just not happy with how he's conducting himself. You know, I'm surprised that, you know, he's supposed to be helping the Democrats, but how is he helping the Democrats by slamming Democrats?
Yeah, well, because he's an agent of disruption. Yeah. That's what Bernie Sanders does. He's always done that. He's always introduced things, amendments, and so on that make it impossible. Like, for example, a Republican was doing like pulling a Bernie Sanders thing, but doing it in the opposite way, an opposite move. Where there was a Republican senator, I believe, who was trying to insert into one of these Trump care things that they're voting on in the Senate, trying to insert in their single payer to try to trick Democrats into voting for Trump care in the process of voting for single payer, if that makes any sense, where Obamacare is repealed and then single payer is created. But of course, there's all kinds of caveats and blind alleys and pitfalls in the whole thing, which would make single payer not happen. So it was a trick. It was a trick. And then Bernie Sanders does that kind of stuff all the time. You know, he's great on policy. He's an interesting character on the political stage, but...
Well, hey, I'm all for single payer. Yeah. I'm all for higher minimum wage. You know, I'd like to get the corruption as much as possible out of policy. Everything that he was campaigning on. I mean, I can't say I disagree with any of it. It's just, you know, I think his popularity has gotten to his head.
Well, you know, he's relatively the same as he's always been, but I think he got so close last year to actually winning that it kind of, you know, sparked an idea in his head that he could really, really do this. And it's not worked out well, I think, for cohesion on the left.
But no.
Then again, there's no cohesion on the left, and there has been. So there's that, too. All right, the postmortem show is coming up next. We've run really, really long today.
Because we were lecturing everybody about articles.
Well, I mean, it's important to be able to spot fake news, especially when it's been weaponized by Russia in an attack on our democracy. And if the president's not going to do anything, at least we can be equipped with our own defense mechanisms. So, all right, lots of stuff to talk about on the postmortem show. Go to bobsesca.com, click the Patreon link. That'll take you right to our Patreon page where you can sign up, subscribe, if you will. $5 a month gets you 2 postmortem shows a week in addition to this free show. So go and do it right now. All right, folks, we'll see you on the other side. Bye-bye.
Strength.